Welcome to the Big Dreams Great Teams podcast with me, your host, Paula Maidens. I'm a mum of two, a hiring and leadership coach, speaker, ex-corporate recruiter, and serial entrepreneur who is obsessed with teaching capable business owners just like you how to become graceful and powerful leaders surrounded by a team who perform like rock stars. On this podcast, we'll be talking about all things people, business, and leadership because big dreams need great teams. You simply cannot do it on your own. I'm excited to have you here. Let's dive in. There are definitely some common themes in the conversations that I'm having with my private clients throughout the first quarter of 2024. And I thought I would share a couple of these themes with you because I expect that some or maybe many of you are facing these same challenges and questions. So the first theme is around performance, and that is quite a few of my clients have reached a point where there's someone on their team who has felt okay. Not bad, but not great. And they've reached a point where this meh kind of performance no longer feels okay to them. And they need to either get the person performing or make a plan for getting them out of the business. Now, it's really common, and in fact, it's really easy to let these meh kind of people, like the people who are okay but not awesome, or maybe, you know, they have quite a few days where they're not quite okay, but they have lots of days where they are performing okay, you know, so I call them these meh people. So it's really easy for these meh people to almost like fly under the radar and to sit in your team without getting much attention or conversation because, well, they're not bad. They aren't bad enough to need you to take action, to have tough conversations, or to direct your energy towards, especially when the business is otherwise busy. Maybe revenue's growing, new clients are coming on board, you know, there are projects happening, et cetera, et cetera. So it's easy for these people to kind of fly under the radar. And what's also really common is that you can almost feel like ambivalent about them. And you can feel this way, be like, yeah, they're okay for quite a while and accept them being, you know, eh, meh. And then you might wake up one day or it might build over a couple of weeks, but it's really common to then reach a stage where you're just like, okay, I'm not actually okay with this average person anymore, or this, you know, sometimes average and sometimes below average person. And often, based on my experience, it's an event that forces you to finally form the opinion that you've kind of not been forming up until that point. You know, you're forced through some sort of event to shift out of ambivalence and into what is my actual opinion on this person and what do I need to do about the parts or the parts of their performance that I'm seeing that I'm not loving. Or am I actually willing to make a change here? And sometimes that event might be a drop in revenue, you know, a change in major client, a knock-on effect or drop in profit margins. And often it's something that finally affects you personally. Maybe you can't draw as much salary, you know, maybe that big client or losing that big client affects you or hurts your reputation or something like that. And what this event often does is make you look at everything and look at the way the person's operating. And maybe they're operating without, you know, they do an okay job, but they don't really seem to care, or they don't seem to prioritize you and your business, or maybe they don't apply the highest level of detail all the time. So often something happens, some sort of event that forces you out of ambivalence into actually forming an opinion about what you think about the person, what you need to do about it if you want to make a change. Or if it hasn't affected you personally directly, often the event can be the person's way of acting or not acting or dropping the ball or whatever, affecting someone else on your team. Usually someone that you do really like, you do really appreciate, you do have a very strong positive opinion about. And the fact that they're potentially unhappy or the fact that they might be affected therefore affects you, and you realize, okay, I need to do something about this. So dealing with this person on your team who has been flying under the radar, so to speak, or just ticking along, being okay, but not really doing their whole role, not being awesome. So this person, this is a bit of a theme. in many of my clients. And it's really actually quite common that most businesses have at least one or two people like this on their team, you know, depending on the size of your team, of course. And what I've been seeing in Q1 is that a change in revenue, a change in economic confidence, a change in or a noticing or a thinking ahead about the knock-on effect of maybe things that are happening with people's clients or customers and, you know, starting to think about, well, what if that changes our revenue? What if our revenue doesn't continue to grow? What if we don't repeat last year? What if there's a drop, et cetera, et cetera? That's kind of the event that is driving many of my clients to go, oh, okay, maybe I should look at this person and work out what we need to do. And in these circumstances, the process that I'm working with my client through is firstly, getting really objective on the whole picture of actually how this person is performing their whole role. Because it's really easy for our brains just to really narrow in and focus in on like the negative bits, the bits that they're not doing really well. Because that's just human nature. We always focus on the negative. Whereas it's the first step is really important to go, okay, let's be objective. Let's list out all the things they need to do and actually go, which one are they not performing? Where are they actually doing okay? Where are they doing well? And where are they sort of falling behind your expectations? So making sure that you get a proper, objective, holistic view is the first step. And then secondly, what we then shift to is, well, how can we have a really clear conversation with that person where they walk away 100% sure and clear on what parts of their role they're doing well, what parts of their role they're falling behind expectations, and what you want from them by when and what the steps forward is going to be. And I spent a lot of time with my clients working out how to structure that conversation and how to script that conversation. So they go into the conversation feeling really clear, confident, and knowing that they can do it in a positive way that actually can trigger the person to improve. Because ultimately, that's what everybody's looking for. You know, we don't want to have to like throw the baby out with the bathwater when the person is like, okay, like we want to first always try and see if we can dial up that performance, support them to improve, work out why is there like a gap and why aren't they doing those other bits? Why are they doing the whole role really well? And what can you do or what support do they need to help them get better? So what I've been working behind the scenes with clients on is structuring that conversation, you know, scripting that conversation, getting, you know, your sentences and your words and getting really confident and clear and ready so you can actually go and have that conversation in a really empowering, inspiring way that leaves the person feeling absolutely clear, that's essential, but also supported and positive. So the second theme that's been coming up with a couple of my clients is pondering the question, well, if revenue stays at this level or if revenue like pulls back this year, looking at costs and looking at what that means for costs and where there's opportunity to pull back some costs if that was needed. And when it comes to looking at the costs of your team, this can be the decision around where you might cut costs if this was to come up. The decision can be pretty complicated, particularly if you've got layers within your team. In other words, people aren't reporting directly to you. You as a business owner, you may not therefore have as close a finger on the pulse to the specific performance of each person on the team and the, you know, the specifics around what they're spending their time doing and how long things are taking them, et cetera, to actually understand where there's any fat, in inverted commas, if any, or inefficiencies that are sitting within your team. So that can be tricky when you have layers. And it can also be complicated when, in general, you've just been rolling along with a bunch of team who are doing a great job, producing great output as a whole, but where you don't necessarily know the specifics around how they're doing the various things in their, you know, their jobs, and you don't really have good visibility over like what the team is spending their time on. And, you know, and how like the buckets are being broken up, the various responsibilities and things that people need to do on a daily and weekly basis. So you might have like person A, for example, who has like 7 key areas of responsibility, and each of those key areas of responsibility will have a number of like, you know, subtasks or things that they need to do. But if you don't understand, well, how someone's like day and week is typically broken up and that responsibility one takes up like 70% of their role, for example, if you don't really have that detailed or even like summarized understanding of what's comprising someone's role, it can be hard for you to assess the impact and the return of how they're spending their role and therefore make any changes that you might want to. So the process that I've been working on with a couple of clients is to really dive deep into understanding time. So we're getting really clear on knowing how people's time is being spent. And in fact, this is something that I definitely recommend to all my clients, is that they kind of know and understand conceptually and specifically where people's buckets of time are going. You know, there are some businesses, some of my clients and some businesses that I know who do a time audit just as a standard way, standard, like part of their standard mode of operandi is they'll do a time audit every, like, say, 6 months, whereby everybody like really diligently tracks their time for a month. And then the business is able to analyze, well, how long is this taking? Is that where we still want the person spending their time, et cetera, et cetera. And what's great about this is that, you know, you can then tweak and refine what people are doing. And, you know, it becomes like a cultural norm or a business operations norm. And you can make these little tweaks without it feeling like a very big deal. And, you know, if you introduce like tracking time to your team, even in a time audit kind of way, that the whole business sort of does it for 1 month, every 6 months, you know, and then we all look at it together and we have a discussion around, is that more than what you expected? Is that more than, you know, it should be, et cetera, et cetera. You can do it in a way that doesn't feel scary. It's not threatening. It's full of explanation, et cetera, et cetera. So if you haven't been doing that regularly and it's not part of your business mode of operandi, that's totally normal. That's like most businesses, don't worry. But what you can do is you can introduce it with some really great language and supportive statements explaining why you're looking at the data, why it's relevant, you know, making sure that people are really, really clear that this is not me questioning why it's taking you that long. It's just looking to understand, well, how long does the business spend on this part of it? So it might be like, well, how long does the business spend on social media? How long does this, you know, within that, and then like diving, you know, a step down and going, well, how long does the business actually spend on dealing with the trolls or dealing with all the comments that we get, et cetera, et cetera? Because it can be really, really informative, actually, like knowing, you know, how long does it take to actually onboard a new client? How much time are we spending dealing with new purchases that have come in or new people who are onboarding into our programs? Or, you know, how much time are we spent processing credits or refunds, et cetera, et cetera? So if tracking and talking about time is new, which it is in some of my clients' businesses who haven't been working with me for very long, then it's about how can we introduce this in a way to the team that it's not scary, it's not threatening, it's full of explanation about the why the data is being sought and really turning it into like a really beneficial and hearty two-sided conversation. And what that does is it means that you get A, the information you need, which I can say hand on my heart is always eye-opening to my client. Literally, I can always forecast that the next conversation we have is going to start with, wow, I had no idea that it was taking this long for them to do this. Or wow, it blows my mind that this would take this long. I just totally didn't realize that. So the process is always eye-opening. And frankly, it's therefore empowering to you as a business owner, because you can just like look at the buckets of time and dive into the ones that feel like, you know, they need more understanding, investigation. And then ultimately you get to a point where you go, okay, cool. Yeah, that feels on track. Or no, this feels really out of whack that this has blown out to take this long. And again, what I do with my clients is then come up with a plan with, okay, this thing that feels like it's really blown out of control or is taking far too long. And I really need to like peel back some layers and understand this. Then we can come up with a plan of actually how are you going to discuss that in the most positive way possible to make sure it's received really well. Because particularly if it's with someone who you don't have a really great detailed or long relationship with, and it's really easy for people in your team to also receive questioning in an attack way, which it's never intended. But so, you know, the way you phrase these things can really become quite important. So that's what I work with my clients on. That's what I've been working with them on, is how we actually, what do we need to find out from this conversation? How are we going to phrase it in a way that makes you feel really good, makes it really clear, the person understands the why, they don't feel defensive, and they're just really open, and the two of you can, you know, have a really robust conversation, and, you know, so that you can actually make some decisions that you need to make down the track if whatever it is that you're already thinking about does eventually come true. So you can imagine that once you understand time within your business, it can just be gold. Like this information is just gold, and it can help you to get oh so clear on what's actually happening behind the scenes in your business and therefore feel so much more in control and empowered that actually like they're doing the things that I want them to do and it makes sense to me that it takes this long and therefore it costs this much and the impact to my clients is X and yep, I feel good about that. So that's not going to change. Or actually, I don't feel quite good about that. That feels like it's blown out as we've grown. That's kind of, you know, feels like it's just a bit unnecessary and perhaps there's some opportunity to change there. Because that's the thing when you grow fast, like it's really common for many of the people that I speak to and my clients to almost feel like the back end, the operations, their team has like grown into this big beast that you don't kind of understand and you feel almost shackled to paying for because they're doing things. I don't quite understand the details of what they're doing. And that's okay. You don't understand, need to understand all the details. But if you feel like shackled to, well, I've got to keep paying this person to do this and they're saying it takes this long and I don't understand it, so I don't really know how to make any changes, even if I wanted to. And, you know, everything's so big and busy and I just like, it feels like it's this beast that's almost like, it's almost like run away, if that makes sense. Like it's really normal to feel like that, particularly when you've gone through this period of fast growth, when frankly, you know, you're just grateful that people are getting in, rolling up their sleeves and helping you service the business in that growth phase. So that's really common to feel like that, but you don't want to feel shackled to feeling like, well, I wouldn't know how to unwind this even if I wanted to. I wouldn't even know how to like cut the costs even if I wanted to. That's the part that you don't want to feel. So I guess you can get a really good understanding of what it takes to turn the cogs in your business. If you think of, you know, the operations and the behind the scenes of your business like a wheel that's got the cogs, so you can understand what cogs are needed in the wheel and what it takes to turn the cogs and conceptually how long it takes to spend on each cog without actually understanding how to turn the cogs, the specifics of each cog, et cetera. So what I'm not trying to say is that you need to understand how to do everything. You don't need to understand the step-by-step of everything, but you do need to understand like conceptually what does it take to turn this engine so that if you need to make some decisions about the turning of the engine, about the turning of the wheel, then you can make really good ones and truly understand any knock-on effects and assess those before you make them. So you don't want to feel like you're kind of flying blind and the team's kind of run away or the operations have run away without you. So they're the two common themes that I've been chatting to a lot of clients about in Q1. And it's definitely not all my clients, but it's quite a few of them. It's sort of like, yeah, that person who's just been okay, it's probably time to look at them now. Or looking over the horizon, if you know we don't have a repeat of last year, or if revenue plateaus, or if it pulls back a little bit, you know, what control or what do I need to think about now so that, you know, when it comes to my team, so I know what changes I would want to make if I needed to make any. So definitely not across the board. It's not every single client, but it's definitely quite a few of them. And I thought by sharing these themes with you, it may be helpful to hear what other people are facing, hear, you know, what's a total normal challenge that every business owner faces as you go through the various cycles of business, because everything doesn't stay the same year on year for the entire future, unfortunately, like everything, like all life is business has cycles. So I thought that it would be helpful to share this with you, and I hope it has been. So I'd love to know what's landed, if you've been having these thoughts yourself, if you've been doing any of this sort of stuff and analysis and processes yourself, or if you're facing an entirely different challenge, like reach out to me, let me know. You can send me an email over at paula@paulamaines.com or reach out to me in the DMs. I hang out over on Instagram mostly, but you can find me on all my socials. I'd also love to know what you're focusing on for Q2 and the remainder of the year. So share with me and I'll keep coming in and sharing with you what's happening behind the scenes of my clients. So yeah, hoping it can help you and your business. Okay, well, that's it for today. A nice short one. Have a really great week, everybody. And for those of you who celebrate Easter, a very big happy Easter period to you. I'll be back here next week. And until then, have fun.